Welcome to Prague Will Find a Way. Our podcast all about progressive rock today, tomorrow, and definitely yesterday. But you know, Prague does find a way all the time. And speaking of which, today we're going to talk about some new things coming out, and we're going to talk about some albums we talked about in the past that we now have some physical copies of.
Physical copies.
Yes.
They exist.
So for those of you watching on YouTube, you can see all these props we have, but the those listening on Spotify will have to just imagine,
right, or
Apple Music. So one of the things we talked about a number of months ago was the Peter Gabriel album Io, which came out with a Dark Side and a Bright Side mix, which was the same album, just remixed by,
right,
two different people, yeah, with kind of a different take on the album. And I think John and I both discussed at the time that we thought that the mixes were not that dissimilar to create such a need for a Dark Side, Bright Side. A very interesting concept, but I don't think in reality they differed enough to have that distinction. However, I remember you at the time saying, "I wish he just would tell us which one he likes."
Right.
Well, I got the physical copy.
Even
after all that. Well, because I like the music.
Of course.
But I got the physical copy, and it has a CD of the Dark Side, a CD of the Bright Side, and a Blu-ray Atmos mix of the Inside mix.
There you go.
Which I believe would probably go as the definitive.
The definitive.
John, you haven't heard this yet.
No.
I just got it. So,
was it just released?
No, but it was one of those, Amazon, before Christmas,
things behind my house. Let's see it in the frame.
One of those before Christmas things, Amazon Prime Days or whatever.
No.
So nice. I got it. It was like $20 for the 3 CD thing. So
that's like, pretty good, because that's not domestic, is it?
I don't know.
I don't think so, but maybe it is. I don't know. Came with an Obi?
Yeah, it came with an Obi strip, which is kind of an interesting
thought for
a American or a...
Any
release. Yeah, I don't see where this was made, but...
Check this out.
But anyway, it's an interesting... little package, and I think that you should borrow it or whatever, just to see if you like the final mix, which I've listened to a couple times and I enjoyed it.
It's a booklet, nice booklet here.
Booklet
too.
With different pieces of art for each song that were commissioned by different artists.
Oh wow!
And it's kind of funny. I haven't read through all of these liner notes, but most of it is all about the recording and all the people involved in each of these songs. But on the last page, he kind of does all his thank yous and things like that. But there's not really a big explanation of how the mixes came about or what the thing was. And if there is, I have not read that in here yet. Because it's a ton of thank yous. But he does have a little explanation at the beginning, but it's not very specific. Well, different views of different things and et cetera as an artist. I'm paraphrasing, but it doesn't really say the inside mix is the definitive.
Okay.
But I think that if you're doing an Atmos mix of one of them or some of them,
you're probably going to pick at least the one you like that day.
Or all we know is it's a mix of both of them.
Right.
That's why I'm saying I didn't get that deep into every piece there.
So it is a U.S. domestic release. It was made in the U.S. So,
So that was one. That was one thing.
Yep.
And then a recent episode, we also discussed the Porcupine Tree, Fear of a Blank Planet release.
And we did have a question within that description.
Whether I would buy it.
I didn't say Jay specifically, but whether one of us would buy it. And I believe we're answering that question right now.
So I did buy it.
And he's showing it, and it looks like a very thick book.
It's a very thick book. There's a huge, I haven't even gotten through it yet, a huge essay history of the making of this album.
Oh, wow.
That goes through, you know, the weeks and years surrounding this album.
And is it Stephen write that, or is that
I don't know who actually wrote it.
He was interviewed, probably.
Yeah. But it's very informative, and I it's really good, the how far I've gotten so far. But there's also a, you know, 40-minute documentary on the making of the album on here, which is really insightful. And it's mostly, I believe, current interviews with the band, and it includes Colin Edwin, who's no longer in the band, but they're individually interviewed.
Okay.
And so they go through the whole thing. Surprisingly, although I really love this album, all of them are like, this was our pinnacle.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Which is not necessarily my take.
Yeah.
But I do enjoy it.
And did it come in a sleeve and everything?
No.
No.
Oh. It's the book. It's the book.
Oh,
so
okay.
It's a six-disc set. It's got Fear of the Blank.
There's no outer sleeve for the book.
No.
Wow. Okay.
All of the Porcupine Tree stuff has been like this.
Okay, so it's...
And the Stephen Wilson stuff.
Well, at least it's not unique it's consistent. In that regard.
Right.
Consistent, yes.
There's the 2024 remaster of the album. There's the 2024 remaster of Nil Recurring, which was the EP that came after the album, with a live track tacked onto that. There's demos. So what's very interesting is this is the one album that they took on the road before they recorded it.
Okay.
So basically they had these demos. They went through. They went on tour, and they refined this music, and then they recorded it. So I'm very interested. Again, this is a recent purchase for me, so I haven't gotten into every piece of it, but I really want to listen to these demos
and see how they changed,
how much they have changed.
Right now, the demos were not, when we talked last time and you went through everything you had, those were not part of what
the other stuff
so
I already
that, you don't
so
have
that is
that.
Something
that
that's
is unique
me,
for you
right
okay
and there's
that's
also a live in Starbrooken, I can't even read that.
Starbrooken,
yeah. In September 2006, which I believe predates the album. So between the demos
and the live show,
and then the live show, you can see how they were working towards things, which I think is pretty an interesting document.
Yeah.
I find it very interesting though that the demos, when I compare it to the final product, are seconds different.
Interesting.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So I'm wondering if it's instrumentation that has changed or whether it is actual song structure.
Right.
But we'll find out when we listen.
Yeah.
Disc five is all the sessions, BBC sessions, Orlando in store, all that kind of stuff. Kind of a fun disc.
Okay.
Then there's a 5.1 surround sound Blu-ray.
Okay.
Oh, then the Blu-ray, which is 5.1.
Okay, so we're getting
into the Blu-ray. It's not Atmos, which I was kind of surprised, but it's a 5.1 of Fear of the Blank Planet.
Would not surprise me if there's an explanation in there why he didn't do an Atmos mix. There could be a reason.
Could be. Then there's Dylan Recurring in 5.1. Then there's this documentary that I just talked about. Okay. Promo videos, live films, and the promo videos, then two live visual films that they would play in the background.
Okay, yeah, but projecting.
And then three live tracks from Cologne, Germany. So
nice.
It is pretty cool in the end. And it's I don't even know how many pages this book is, but it's...
It's big and long.
107. So it's like probably 120, just shy.
Wow.
So nice.
There
package.
You go. And all right.
I've really only gotten through the Blu-ray.
Yep.
And I've enjoyed the whole thing. So even just for the Blu-ray, but the Blu-ray, I wouldn't pay that much for a Blu-ray. But,
right. Anyway. Well, the book. You got the book.
And the last one that we have is This Strange Engine from Marillion. They have released as a 4-disc set as well, or a 5-disc.
What label
set.
Is that on? They're through the EMI years, right?
Yeah, this was their, I think, their first major.
Okay.
Their first album after their EMI years.
Yep, yep.
So there's a documentary on this too, and they are lamenting the change.
Right. Yeah.
You know, and it's just like, whoa, what we were used to, what we suddenly find right. ourselves in, and you know how we had to do this, that, and the other thing to make ends meet and still be a band. And these were lean years, I guess, or the beginning of some lean years.
Right.
But you know, as I revisited this album for the first time in a long time, I love this album.
Yeah.
There's things, I mean, the band loves and hates certain songs on it, particularly Hope for the Future, but it's good.
So
again, I have to go through and read all this stuff, but you know, it's a nice package. Again, they kind of expound upon the original packaging.
Yeah.
Changed the front cover.
Okay. A little bit.
But it's pretty cool.
It's very nice.
Again,
so they remixed the album for 2024, and then you get a live. You got a couple of CDs, which are a live show in Grand Rapids from 1997.
Yeah,
and a nice mix of music there. Then the fourth CD is the B-sides and bonus tracks, radio edits. I'm seeing some acoustic session stuff, and then then you get a Blu-ray. So you get the remix in stereo and 5.1. Then you get the jams and an early version of the album in stereo only, and they've got a list of all of that, and that's a lot of different songs. Well, backing
like,
track.
It's like 20 songs or something,
yeah,
right?
But I mean, that's par for the course. And then that's the Blu-ray audio content. The Blu-ray video content, you get a documentary film, so 85 minutes on The Strange Engine. And is that new?
Yes.
Okay, so that's a brand new documentary. That's then
substantial.
Right. And then you've got a bootleg concert video live in Utrecht, Netherlands on May 29th, 1997. Again, nice selection of tunes and a couple of promo films. So that's a pretty hefty package. Yeah.
And this is right around the time that they were starting that crowdfunding situation. Right. So
Was this album crowdfunded? Well, the tours were crowdfunded.
The tour was crowdfunded. That's when it started the ball rolling.
Gotcha. Was it for this tour?
I believe it was.
Okay. So.
You can correct me later, but I think
I don't know. Low me. I know we talked about, I thought at one point
we talked about the
crowdfunding thing because you were a part of that right at the beginning.
Yes.
You were there right at the beginning.
A fun little piece. And as I was saying, it's in the same format as the first EMI one. So the same kind of, it fits right in with all of them. So,
and as we
hopefully they will continue that.
And as we start to, cut out the cellophane sticker here. Original album, remixed, unreleased. So that live in Grand Rapids show, two CDs that's unreleased. And new artwork, memorabilia, and a new essay. That's great. So we'll use this as a nice segue to the future. We're going to talk about what else is happening in 2025. What's next for Marillion?
I think they're working on a new album.
Okay, right. And
so
they may be, you may get a new tune or two by the weekend.
They are less
inclined to do that?
Yeah. I don't usually hear them, or at least the tours that I've been on.
Right.
I don't
That's March,
hear.
The weekend?
That's in March. Okay. The Marillion weekend in Montreal is March.
Well, if they're listening, you would certainly surprise people if you want to mix it up from past years and bring a new tune or two. Just a lighthearted.
Wouldn't mind. Then
reissues though they haven't. What's after this album?
I think that's all I know. This was it just came out like a month ago.
Right.
So I don't know what's on the agenda for the others because this was at the beginning of them hopping from label to label.
Radiation.com. What comes after?
I think it's .com is next, and then Radiation.
Two albums, which I actually enjoy.
Right.
So I'd like to see box sets of those albums.
I think that would be great.
This is after Marbles.
No, Marbles.
Marbles is later. Okay. Yeah. All right. I'm getting my Marillion timeline.
So
a little messed up there.
But the then Fish is got a new Vigil, right? His,
yeah.
Multiple box sets? I'm not sure.
He's got Vigil and Internal Exile just came out a few months ago. I think we may have briefly mentioned them in a previous episode. His box sets are similar with, you know, documentaries. And, of course, he writes his own liner notes and there's tens of thousands of words. It's therapeutic.
But he's retiring.
Right. And it's therapeutic for him too, I think, to go through those eras. Cause he had a lot of eras that are, were a little more difficult than others, but yeah. He's finally wrapping up in 2025, you know, no one says, oh, I'm not going to play a live show anymore. So I'm not going to tour anymore. So it's more a, you know, if I do a show here or there occasionally in the future, but he definitely sounds like he's going to wants to step away more from music. That's what it seems to me. And he's got, you know, he pretty much has put everything out now as deluxe sets. That's really Vigil and Internal Exile were the last ones. And you know, he'll put some live stuff out, I'm sure, from these farewell tours. I know there's something that's out already because this farewell, or at least it was a Vigil, playing some Vigil stuff, and then his last solo proper album. There's been some live stuff on the streaming sites at least, but yeah. he wants to, you know, he's going to do an autobiography or something like that. I mean, they never go away. I mean, right. Bruford, I mean,
check
out YouTube. Bill Bruford just dropped a more kind of like a holiday thank you video and just talking about.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah. And just talking quickly about, you know, the band that he's in now, the Pete Thorne, but something else. And, it's interesting because they have some live shots and stuff and video, and it sounds cool. He said, looks like he's having a blast.
But is it straight jazz?
Yeah. This is, and we're not talking Earthworks either, Jeff. Yeah. This is more like if Summer had ghosts.
Yeah.
This is jazz.
Fair enough.
But to be fair, well, I happen to like jazz, but to be fair, it's a guitar trio. So it sounds, you know, it's a different sound than most people are used to when they think of jazz. And there's no horns. But it's Bruford. I mean, it sounds like Bill Bruford no matter what, you know?
Yeah.
So it's actually nice to see him. Not a lot. I mean, he didn't make any fanfare about it. Everybody else did, you know, and he just.
True. He just kind of.
Yeah, he just wants to go out there and play. I mean, I remember when they did the Wet and tribute and he was playing, you know, with Brian Ferry and
Brian Ferry wasn't there.
No, but with Phil Anthony. Yeah, playing Let's Stick Together. And I was like, whoa, it's like never seen him play 4/4 like that before.
Yeah, because his website or the videos that he keeps releasing are all. Historical.
Yeah. So
he's not pushing this. Just like, I'm going out playing.
And it's nice because it's all over the map. It's from all eras, all of his eras, which is great. But yeah, I mean, it's just great to see him kind of out there. So, we know in March, we talked briefly about this there. It's definitive now. The Lamb Lies Down on Broadway box set will be coming out. One thing that's not very clear, so I'm sure it'll be a surround or an Atmos mix of the album and some outtakes. I mean, I remember back in the bootleg days, there was at least 5, 6, or 7 CDs of different sessions. And of course I probably bought all of them or at least bought some of them.
Yeah. So is that something that you would be interested in?
I'm not sure at this point in time. I want to see if the question is answered because it will be a live show on there. And now everybody's like, well, they put a live Lamb show before and they redid stuff. Nobody knows if it's or I could be wrong. And if you know for sure, please leave a comment. If they're going to have an original show without any mucking about, or overdubbing it, or if it won't be. So
got it. The box set that I have of each of the Genesis boxes, those all had 5.1s
on it. Those all had 5.1s on it from, but I mean, we're going back
20 years.
Almost. Well. It's so weird to think of it.
It seems like I just got those.
I know. And they were good sets too. I mean, if the remixes didn't bother me, but the bonus stuff was good. You got live.
You got live. You got video. You got all that.
I mean, all that stuff, all those videos are on YouTube now, all those shows, the Belgian, all the famous shows everybody talked about but never could have. But this will be interesting. So
this is the first that they've done of any album like
exactly.
This, right?
This is the first they're tackling as a kind of deluxe box set that everybody else does. So I don't know if they'll go back then. I mean, there would be as much demand for Selling England by the Pound as there would be for The Lamb.
Right.
Probably Nursery Crime
More
and
Foxtrot
2. But I think you could actually, to me, you could combine. You could actually, if you wanted to do a mega box, you could combine Trespass
and Nursery,
Nursery Crime, and then have Foxtrot as a standalone with the Live, because Genesis Live was that era.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I mean,
did they sell their catalog?
I think they did.
I'm just wondering,
but
because
I don't know.
Because that's generally,
I honestly
mean, yes,
don't
sold
know.
Their catalog, yeah. So that now we're getting all these box sets.
I honestly don't know. I thought maybe they did.
I can't remember.
I'm pretty sure Phil Collins sold his solo stuff, but I don't know. I don't know.
I'm just wondering if this is the beginning of that kind of.
Yeah, I just don't know. I think it was more, The Lamb is 50 years old. And I mean, it's a smart thing, get it back in the public consciousness. But I don't know what to expect, you know, and I just have a different attitude towards physical product than I used to.
I know
to.
You do.
So that's not to say I haven't bought anything, but I mean, literally the only deluxe box sets I've bought, I think, in the last 10 plus years is I got the Crimson Islands, because I love that era. I got the Fripp Exposure box. Which
you did? I have to
Exposure's
see
box, yeah.
I don't think I
which
borrowed that
amazing.
Yet. Yeah.
And then I got the Van de Graaff Generator box, which is also amazing. But there are boxes where, like, there was a Steve Hillage box that was a limited edition, and I was like, and so there's a couple here and there, and I'm like, but the Lamb one, I'm not like, oh yeah, I'm definitely going to get the Lamb.
Got it.
I have a surround sound setup. I don't really listen to surround that much.
Okay.
Although, speaking of the Exposures box, like a week ago, I pulled out one of the Frippertronics, because there's everything is
just
on surround.
Just had it on at Christmas
Christmas Eve dinner, put on, you know, the Pizza Express in April of 1979 in London, right? But it's Frippertronics. That's not one
I'm
of the shows
kidding.
That are in surround, by the way. But there are shows that are in surround, and it's wild. It's wild to hear it. But also talking about the Lamb, have you watched the Phil Collins documentary?
I have not.
So Drumeo, which is kind of, I'll just call it a learning channel for drummers. Like, they have lessons in famous people. So this is like, I mean, you know, they have 4.5 million subscribers. If you like what we're doing, we'd love to get to that level. So please subscribe. Or at least
subscribe.
Get over 100. Anyways, please subscribe. Thank you. So they get anybody and everybody on.
Yeah.
So they did. It's really his son, Nick Collins, interviewing Phil. And they set one of his drum sets up. And he sits down at it and hits a couple of toms, and that's it. So that's the spoiler if you think he's going to play drums again. And he doesn't. It's hard to tell by the editing what is what.
But is it an interesting
conversation? It is very interesting, and it's long as heck. It's almost like 2 hours. It's from a couple of years ago they did the interviews, but he's very not going to say nonverbal, but doesn't really do any answers right in the beginning. It's very strange, you know? And then all of a sudden he seems to warm up, and he talks a lot about the stuff, and he actually talks about Chester Thompson, which they kind of had a falling out. And even though Chester's not in the video, there's a lot of other drummers that are. But he comes off as a bit surly in spots, but laughs a lot too. He seems to warm up to the process. It doesn't seem like it's something he wants to do right in the beginning. It seems like something Nick wanted him to do.
Yeah.
But it's really Nick doing the interview. And they go through all the albums and stuff. And he gets his dates mixed up. But once they start doing that, and, you know, they'll pull out a picture, and he talks about how his drum posture, because they show pictures where he's just leaning over, and he's like, they spend some time talking about Brand X, and he talks about that.
Yeah.
So it is very interesting. Gets a little less interesting when he's in the height of his solo career.
Yep.
But it's definitely worth watching. It's definitely worth watching. But he doesn't play drums in it. He hits a couple of toms.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, this feels weird, you know? and they spend some time, but it's interesting because, you know, it's something really his son's doing.
Yeah. Interesting.
And so, yeah, it's worth checking out. So, yeah, so that's coming out in March. The other live album, Gentle Giants Playing the Fool, there's a deluxe box of that coming out. It just says spring. So I'm assuming that's probably around April-ish. So, it's the full show that was edited for that album, although I believe the full show has already been out, not in one package, but they're also going to do a surround. I don't know if it's an Atmos or if it's we got a different count this time.
Got it.
Or if it's the or if it's you know, just a 5.1, but there'll be a book, you know, there'll be a book in the whole nine yards. Excellent live album, so we've got that.
And we've got a John Anderson live album. John Anderson and the Band Geeks are
right.
Coming out with a new album in March.
Nothing from the new album, though.
It's the first tour they did.
Right, so you get your Gate to Delirium,
tour,
right?
The Band Geeks tour, yeah. And then they made the album and then
retoured.
So this is from their first tour, which they
get
do
Gates.
Play
Gates you do get Delirium. Gates of Delirium.
Yes. So I'm interested to hear that one. It has a
but it's
much
just more, audio. It's not a
well. They do have a video. So there's okay. a there's a album and DVD coming out. So it's the video
oh,
as well.
Okay.
But then they have a Blu-ray as well. But the Blu-ray has like zero information about what the mix is or anything. So I don't know if there's a 5.1 surround.
Right.
I don't know if there's a Atmos. I don't know if there's anything. It just says it's the Blu-ray is available.
Okay.
But I don't want to have to buy both. So I pre-ordered the CD DVD.
Okay.
But its album cover is much more akin to something you expect from a John Anderson Yes type release.
I've definitely seen the
true album, which
a
was a little
lot of online chatter was saying how this is a much better cover, and I agree completely.
Yeah.
It's a nice cover.
Yeah. So we'll see.
I hope it's good, and they do put out a new one with the new material.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, and the other songs that they play because they did switch up the set list on the second tour.
You know, I mean, personally, I think, you know, like a lot of bands, they would have put one out of the latest tour, and then as bonus material, they just would have had the songs that they didn't play anymore, like Gates and whatever. But clearly, above our pay grade, the decisions that were made for this release. But you know, it's going to be interesting to hear because I watched the videos and this will be good sound, really good.
Yes.
This should be really good sound.
Yes.
And again, the cover's nice.
Yeah. So that comes in March. And also I believe in March is Stephen Wilson has a new solo album. So his last thing, they did the Porcupine Tree album. Then he had the Harmony Codex.
Yeah.
And now
and
he's
then
got
the Christmas single.
Yeah, the Christmas single,
which
yes,
we talked about last time,
and then
how did that do on the charts?
Oh, I don't know.
I'm joking,
but he released it as physical product, so I got it.
Okay,
knows. But
yeah,
he's got a new album out that is supposedly, you know, like one long song or
right. You
two
talked,
separate
yeah,
songs.
And what's it called?
I can't recall what it is called, but it's coming out in March.
We're gonna look it up. You had
so he would. There's a lot of chatter that it's going to be returned to the Prague elements that he was previously known for. But I, you know what, there's
did
a
they
lot
ever
of people.
Go away? Did those Prague elements
well, a lot of people
go
complain
away?
That you know the To the Bone album and then the follow up to
I've
that.
Gone back to a more progressive style.
Yeah. Well, it was too electronic. And
The Overview.
The Overview is the new album.
Yes. His eighth solo album via Fiction Records on March 14th, and it marks his long-awaited return to Prague territory.
There we go. So a lot of people were complaining that, you know, he's been doing these things that are influenced by some of his more pop tendencies. But, you know, he's not a pop songwriter. I mean, as much as he might say that he's influenced by his pop tendencies, it's still, he's not
like when
be,
people
he's
say,
not
oh,
be top 40.
Oh, that, yeah, XTC is pop, you know, it's just, it's not, I mean, even if like that's running through their brains from a template perspective, that's not what comes out. But that's good, right? Yeah, I mean, that's why we love them. That's why we listen to those kind of bands.
But people have complained that, you know, some of the direction. But, you know, if he didn't do that and he did the same thing all the time, he'd be bored stiff. So I appreciate that he does what he
like
feels
no one's
like.
Going to complain about the overview. It's not going to be prog enough for somebody.
Yeah,
right?
Or it's going to be too prog
too
or
prog,
too derivative
yeah,
or
exactly.
too whatever. But not us.
Be that as it may. So what, as far as...
I haven't heard anything except that.
Okay, so we don't know, I mean...
I don't know who, I think the band is a lot of the people from his previous solo, but he's switched up a lot of
that. But there's been no, okay, it's a CD and there's the deluxe release and all that.
There's
no chatter like that.
No release, aside from the date, no box set and no this, no that.
We're only a couple of months away from
release. I know, which I'm surprised that it has not.
Maybe right after the first.
Yeah.
Because you have to figure out what version you're going to get, right?
Of course.
So... Well, most likely it would be the deluxe. Whatever.
Well, I don't know, because I don't always go for the deluxe. It depends on the...
It's hard. You know, it's funny, because you know there will be more deluxes of... Even though this album isn't even out yet, there will be more deluxe releases in the future beyond the original one. And there's not been any shows or any of, like, you were talking
about... Well,
he's
touring, too. Right?
Okay.
He's touring this, but he's touring it over in Europe, so I don't know that he has any dates set.
Right, but that's not... If there's a deluxe box right at the beginning, none of that live... Unless he's played any live...
Right, none of the live stuff will be on.
I mean, maybe it'll be demos and stuff like that, but what I'm saying is that, inevitably, what that means is when the next deluxe box, it'll have all that's on this one plus some live stuff.
Yes.
So, we'll see.
And what else? The Aristocats. We are going to go see them.
Yeah, we have to get tickets.
In the spring.
Is it March?
I got tickets.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
We're all set.
Okay. All right. I think it's in March. Is that March?
I don't know. Maybe
April. Know. Okay.
Some stuff is so far in the future that they just announced the show, so we're going
to go. They're coming to our local venue that we talk about a lot, Warehouse/Stage 1 in Fairfield, Connecticut. We are going. We will try to...
And for those who don't know, that's Guthrie Govan, who he's Steve Wilson's guitar
player
previously. I don't know that he's still playing with him at all, but yeah. Seeing him play was great when I saw him. I actually saw him with Asia way back in the day.
And is the bass player Brian Beller? Is that who?
I think so.
And Marco Miniman. I don't listen to it. I listened like when they first came out. I don't know what to expect, but we're going to try to get them on. I mean, we try to get anybody who comes there, but we don't succeed that often, like once. Check out the John Davison interview. I'll put a link below it. It's a good one. But anyways, if the Aristocats, I was going to say Aristocats, but that's a Disney movie.
I think that's what I said.
Yeah. The Aristocrats want to get on a up and coming prog pod /videocast. I got one for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. That'll be fun. Prague and Fairfield, Connecticut, who would have known?
Yep, it always finds a way, John.
I'm sure there'll be other live shows coming up. I don't think...
The Marillion weekend and that on the docket from a Prague
When's
standpoint.
Cruise to the Edge?
I'm not sure, but we'll have to touch base with our friend Tim Taddy, who did the review last time.
Yeah, and we're gonna get
maybe
him on.
We'll do a preview instead of a review.
I think we want to do we'll do a preview of the Cruise to the Edge, so he can tell us first of all who's going to be on it. He's been to a lot of them, so can give us some insight again.
Sure. All right, I think that's it.
Yep, Prague will find a way
if you want it to.